My name is Beck Wise. I'm a PhD student in rhetoric at UT Austin. I study medical imaging and the way that the body is represented in public culture. And right now I'm teaching feminist science fiction.
My name is Dustin Hixenbaugh. I'm a PhD candidate here at UT in comparative literature, and I'm currently teaching the rhetoric of country music.
I'm Catherine Stevenson. I'm studying British literature here at UT Austin, and I teach rhetoric of tourism right now.
I'm Sarah Riddick. I study rhetoric here in the PhD department, and I teach first-year writing.
And we're the current Zoogma team. Hi, and welcome to the first episode of Zoogma's third season, Riffing Redux. I'm Beck Wise, your producer for this episode. As you may have gathered from the title, for this opening event, the team decided to reprise one of our favourite episodes from last year, Riffing, which we then described as an experiment in collaboration without communication. We followed the same format here as last year. Each team member took 2 weeks to put together 3 minutes of audio, then handed on the final 15 seconds of their segment to the next person in line, who then riffed on that 15 seconds in order to produce the next segment. After 2 months of secrecy, intrigue, and more than a little bit of hinting, we all gathered on Friday for the grand unveiling, in which you all heard the completed segments together for the first time, and then took some time afterwards to debrief and reflect on the experience of producing this first episode as a new team. So without further ado, let me introduce Riffing Redux, with the segments put together by myself, Dustin, Kate, and Sarah.
Last season.
But what was interesting about that is that so many people that were online at that moment on these Twitter spaces that followed her or other people were able to kind of mobilize.
The discussions and the arguments about whether or not God has an intestine.
Because repetition feels meaningful, even if it isn't. His repetition feels meaningful, even if it isn't.
He offers the vision of a leader as a visionary, as somebody who creates a kind of picture of a future that you bring a country to.
Repetition.
But I see us as having come into this kind of, this profoundly disorganized sort of heap of materials, some of which is garbage and some of which is really important to reflecting the history of the lab.
They want to show us that love.
I'm excited.
Really, rich and fascinating places to think about these things.
I'm so excited.
Hi, and welcome to Zoogma.
Welcome to Zoogma.
Hello? It's for you.
Where you going, dude?
Going home, Donnie.
Phone's ringing, dude.
Thank you, Donnie.
And I'm here to answer it.
So I thought I would start with Big Lebowski, which is one of my favorite movies, because it actually involves a sort of riffing of its own, in that the main character, the dude, speaks mostly in phrases and words and whole sentences that other people in the film have already said before him. For instance, at the very beginning of the film, he hears George Bush say on the television, "This aggression will not stand." He later repeats that to the Big Lebowski. And that's kind of what riffing is, in a way. The first thing I thought of was, what is riffing? What's the definition of riffing? Being an English student, I went straight to the Oxford English Dictionary. And the type of riffing that we're talking about here is actually the fifth definition in the dictionary. It's a short, repeated musical phrase played over changing chords, or a repeated phrase, idea, or situation, or an improvisation. I think improvisation is probably what we're going for most on this podcast. So I also listened to the first episode of Riffing from last season, and of course enjoyed Beck's segment from that first episode about the Diva Cup.
Does the female form make you uncomfortable, Mr. Lebowski?
I thought that was excellent. So I'm not going to get into too much bodily function here on my segment, but one thing that riffing makes me think of is another form of music called scat, which, of course, scat is a word for animal dung. As you know, if you were ever in Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scout camp, any sort of outdoor children's activity like that, where they like to crack you up by teaching you the different types of poop you find in the forest. But scatting is also singing meaningless sounds over music, usually, in my experience, matching the notes that are being played at the same time. So you'd play notes on a guitar riff, for instance, and sing the notes in random syllables over the notes that you're playing. So while there isn't any actual scatting in the music that I had made for the podcast today, I am very curious to see what Dusty will do with a all-trombone version of Hotel California, inspired by the Big Lebowski.
This is Dustin speaking. We are playing a game of podcast roulette, and the 15 seconds I just received from my friend Kate is the classic Eagles song Hotel California, performed by what sounded to me like a kind of mariachi cover band. I thought immediately of two people. The first is Linda Ronstadt. Now, Ronstadt, if you don't already know, rose to fame in the late 1960s, early 1970s, typically covering rock and country songs like the one you're hearing in the background now, When Will I Be Loved? What people do not always remember about Ronstadt, though, is that she put the Eagles together. Though the band would ultimately eclipse her in fame, it started off as nothing more than a group of talented instrumentalists that she recruited for an album and a concert in 1971. Strangely enough, that concert took place at Disneyland. Thinking about Linda Ronstadt led me to think about my friend Joanna. Joanna and I worked a few summers together in Houston, and in that time we exchanged playlists and made a number of musical memories. Among other things, I discovered that she has some strong feelings about Linda Ronstadt. But I thought I would let Joanna speak for herself.
Hello?
Hey there, Joanna.
Hey, Dusty, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. Joanna, when I asked you earlier if you would be willing to hop on Skype with me for a minute, what I didn't tell you is that I'm actually recording you for the University of Texas's Zugma podcast series.
Oh, whoa, okay.
So here's the deal. I wanted it to be a surprise because I have a question that I want you to answer. It's actually part of a game. I want to name a famous person, and I want to know the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, just awesome voice. I love singing her at karaoke. When will I be loved? That's my favorite song to sing of hers.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I actually already put a clip from that song on this podcast.
It's perfect. No, I love singing that song because it's short enough. You can like really just like pack a punch and like people don't get bored with you. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about conversations you and I have had about music. I swear that I've heard you make crazy fun of a Linda Ronstadt song, but I'm wondering if maybe it was Peebo Bryson or somebody or Aaron Neville, someone with whom she was duetting.
Yeah, it was definitely the male counterpart. Yes, because you're thinking of, I don't know much, but I know I love you. And I definitely affiliate that not with Linda Ronstadt. That's pretty funny.
I love that I get to riff on love. What's not to love about love? Okay, admittedly, my initial instinct for a riff about love was to try to define love, but I quite quickly thought better of it. As we all know, the act of defining it for ourselves is one best done by ourselves. My next thought? List some things I love. Still, that's too narrow, and I fear narcissistic. And narcissism is certainly not a quality that I love. So, I won't list my loves for you. Instead, how better to invite you all to ruminate about what love means to you than to host a mini poetry reading? There is still a bit of my love here. I love the evocative power of poetry, a power that I think is beautifully illustrated in the work of visiting associate professor Dobby Gibson, and I am thus delighted to share his musings on the matter of love with you. So, without further ado, I present to you Dobby Gibson.
Polar. Like the last light spring snowfall that seems to arrive from out of nowhere and not land exactly any place, so too do the syllables of thought dissolve silently into the solitude of the body and thought. Like touching your skin, or the first time I touched ice and learned it was really water and that neither were glass, so does the jet contrail overhead zip something closed in us, perhaps any notion of the bluer. Glancing sunlight, my shoulders bearing the burden or any theory why these birds remain so devoted to their own vanishing. One store promises flowers for all your needs. Another tells you everything must go. One river runs like a wound that will never heal. One snow falls like a medicine that will never salve. You the earth, me the moon, a subject moved in a direction you desire, but for reasons I believe to be my own.
Somehow it was out in the ether that we were doing the same things. So I was very concerned that I was about to do a love riff on a love riff. I'd gone with my first impulse, who would have had 6 out of 12 minutes be devoted to Linda Ronstadt. Plus I figured, as, what did you guys say? This was like late night radio, like really soothing and stuff. So I thought, I don't know, because I was the last segment, I thought, okay, I'm just going to wind us down with some poetry.
What? I loved about yours was that it, like, in it. Yeah, okay, the dictionary. But what I loved about it was the way that you had this idea of riffing not only as like this larger governing structure of the entire podcast, right, of riffing off that last 15 seconds, mm-hmm. but of this recursive riffing structure within your thing, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Big Lebowski in so long.
I own it. It's the only movie
I've never seen it.
What?
What? So you didn't even get the Mad Lebowski quote.
I like that we had phone calls the whole way through as well. Yeah. We had this kind of recurring theme of like inviting in, you know, in terms of bringing in our separate guest stars, in terms of the call in The Big Lebowski, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of fascinating to me that it worked out that way, right? Because the only one that knew that was going on was Kate in getting my segment. And yet,
I think riffing again needs an again, audience. You know? And that's how you preserve that illusion in a podcast, by calling somebody up.
Yeah.
Although I think, Sarah, you're a bit gentler or kinder with your guest star than I was with. I didn't give Joanna very much notice. I don't know if we could hear it just a second ago when we were listening to it as a team, but her husband was watching the computer a little bit, and at one point he just breaks out laughing because he just can't believe what his wife is doing on the spot for a known audience.
Mine for a long time was going to be just a mashup of all my favorite intros to TV shows.
Mm.
Yeah. But I only got as far as like the Flintstones and the Simpsons, and then kind of stalled out.
Your idea reminded me of that Too Many Cooks thing that was going around.
What's that?
Did you see that?
No.
Did you see that? Ah, did you? Am I the only one?
I've seen bits of it.
Okay. It's like a 10 or 12 minute long segment from some TV show, Adult Swim maybe, where they did the intro to a fake TV show, and it just keeps going and going and going, and like riffing maybe off of the idea of a sitcom, a million different sitcom ideas.
Love the idea of an intro to something that doesn't exist.
Yeah,
like the Stanislaw Lem book of intros to books that don't exist.
At the moment, Zugma season 3 doesn't quite exist.
It really doesn't. I mean, you and I were talking about this morning, right? Like, and especially because this is like its own little self-contained thing, and then I know in a lot of ways it feels to me like the arc starts with the next episode, and this kind of is its own little bubble of introductoriness.
On the next episode of Zugma.
Standing on the corner, I didn't mean no harm.
Now and then, people ask us, what is Zugma? And we like to respond that we are a podcast that stands at the intersection, or corner, of rhetoric and technology. But what does that phrase, the intersection of rhetoric and technology, actually mean? Tune in, as we find out, by asking some people we meet on the street, some rhetoric students, some rhetoric teachers, and even some members of the Zugma team. We hope you'll join us for episode 2.